you take. Even though we only have two legs, this isn't that different from what the horse feels. Now think back to how it felt when you really had your back hollow and you really had to brace the back of your neck. I'm sure you agree this would not be comfortable to do for very long. Imagine now putting somebody on your back and having to carry them. It can get quite uncomfortable. But the horses, they don't know any better until we show it to them. There's no manual for them for how to hold a human. Yes, they can do it and they can do it well, but our job as riders is really to help that horse figure out the muscling and the balance to become less of a burden to them. And that, I think, is really where dressage is the heart of riding. Of course, I'm sure you've heard people say, well, anything you do should be dressage, no matter what saddle you're on, no matter, you know, what discipline you're doing. And it's really true. We are trying to help the horse gymnasticize or build muscle and strength so that we become less of a burden to them and we can truly have a more harmonious partnership. We want these horses to be comfortable and be sound. They're our friends and they deserve it. We all do. This is a hobby we work really hard to be able to do, or a profession for some people. We want to be able to enjoy it. And there's something so beautiful when a horse is truly relaxed and able physically to do his job to his best ability, as well as humans, as the riders. We all want to strive for that. Okay, so we kind of know ways to gauge where we need to go, and I think we've talked now about what we need to do for your guy. Here's how we're going to do that. First, I want you to really think about biomechanics. And biomechanics being, you know, equitation, being the way that we use our own body to match the horse's body, and the way that we appreciate the way the horse is put together and works. When you think about the walk, for instance, it is a four-beaded gait. Let's think of the walk as starting with the outside hind leg, and then outside hind leg, and then the outside front leg. And then we're going to switch over to beat three, inside hind leg, and then inside front leg. So outside hind, outside front, inside hind, inside front. Imagine now what that horse's back looks like. There is a swing to the horse's back in the walk that often goes unnoticed. Imagine the horse's back without the saddle or with the saddle, but without a rider on there. There's a swing from the outside and the inside, and it works together at alternating times. I tell my riders to imagine the waves of the ocean. They come up to shore and then they sink down and they get pulled back under and back out to sea. Think about the walk as being like that. As that outside hind starts the sequence of footfalls, it's going to dip your outside seat bone down. And then as it pushes under the horse, it's going to pull you down and forward. And then it's going to return your seat bone up and back. Down, forward, up, and back. It makes kind of a circular shape. But as it's doing this, the inside seat bone is doing its mirror image. Alternating the image. So outside seat bone is going to be going down, forward, and then as it starts its return up and back, the inside seat bone is going to be starting its downward and forward movement. I can't tell you how many riders I've seen through my career, riding that walk as though it's one movement, as though it moves just back and front, back and front. It's almost as though imagining, instead of walking as we do as bipeds, how we use one leg and then the other, think of how your hips move right and then left as you walk. It's like trying to bunny hop instead. Think about how long you could comfortably bunny hop. Not real long. Your hips are not made to move as just one piece, and your horse does not do that either. So it's the way of matching our hips up to that movement of the horse's back so that the horse can truly move its back the way it needs to balance over its hind legs. As we do this, as the horse can truly move its back and swing and stretch, the horse's pelvis will actually rotate under. Just like you did when you were practicing this and you brought your back up, you were able to take a more ground covering stride. The horse does the same. The pelvis actually rotates on the sacrum. It comes under in the sacrum and it actually covers more ground. Often I teach riders who spend the first 10 minutes of our ride, not even breathing. They hold so still, and they're trying so hard to be their absolute best position they can possibly give me. And I tell them, I understand that when you think about the best rider in the world that you've ever seen, you imagine that that person is so good that they sit perfectly still and they don't move. I want you to know the best riders in the world, they look like this because they move constantly. They move constantly in perfect sync with their horse, and that's why they look like they're not moving, because they're in perfect sync. So this is our goal. Our goal is to be in perfect balance and timing with our horse, but we don't do it by not moving. We do it by understanding and appreciating the biomechanics and following them to the best of our ability. So as you follow the swing of that walk, the horse's hips are going to come under, his back is going to come up. You should feel that your saddle actually raises a little. As this happens, instead of keeping his head up as a balancing rod against you, you're going to feel that he can start to lower the base of his neck, start to stretch all the vertebrae in his neck straight out, open the throat latch. The underside of his neck can become soft and floppy again because he's going to use the top.